Good morning, everyone. It's really good to see so many of you here in the sanctuary on this gorgeous day in October. From my heart to yours, thanks for your presence, making our community tangibly felt this morning in the sanctuary. Wherever you might be in the cloud of the Church of Conscious Harmony, I welcome you on behalf of the whole community and very grateful for your presence and attention today on Zoom. Or whatever online platform we're using now. I think we've been through our 4 iterations. So maybe it's Vimeo or something. But really grateful that we're all together in the cloud today. It is a most beautiful day in Austin, is it not? Yes, so we are so grateful for the light and the coolness that opens our hearts and bodies up to feel the joy of being alive. Just a couple announcements to draw our attention to today. We are not going to have our Wednesday evening worship service on the 25th before Thanksgiving Day. We will not be having our annual Thanksgiving fellowship dinner, and that is sad, but also just the way it is in this COVID year, and look forward to celebrating next year with you. And Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve services will occur. Christmas Eve will happen at 6 o'clock. And New Year's Eve will begin at 7 o'clock. Both services will be open to a limited number of people, capped at whatever the number is. I believe it's 50 at the current time. And so if you'd like to participate, you'll need to register in person. And so we will just celebrate in a different way. But both services will be broadcasted live on our online platform. So it will be a way of connecting in. And also you'd want to tune in to The Glorious Impossible, which we broadcast on Thursday, December 17th at 7 o'clock in the evening. It will be a montage of images and music from past Glorious Impossibles, which for those of you who don't know, that's kind of our Christmas pageant, a reminder of the miracle of what is possible when we say yes to God in our lives. And finally, unfortunately, we do need to respect one another, and I know you all do, otherwise you wouldn't be here, but we need to wear our masks covering our mouth and our nose throughout the service. I know that's uncomfortable, and I thank you in advance for that. Today we're going to continue in our focus on the Lord's Prayer, looking at the first 3 petitions: Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, and thy will be done. Really excited to share my intuitions on evolving these with you, and hopefully hearing back in the days and weeks to come from how this lands for you. Let's take a moment now in the silence and do our part to ease the suffering of our common Father, and to make effort today through this worship service not just to consume information or entertainment or music, but to be a transmitter of the wisdom and the light and the love of God together in community. And so we begin our service in the name of God transcendent, God omnipresent, and God immanent, the Holy Living Trinity. Amen.
Let's join together in feeling the presence of the Holy Spirit with our opening chant, Holy Spirit, come. Spirit, come. let us stand and join together in knowing the gospel in one word is love.
Most gracious and loving Creator God of the heavens and the earth, giver of this and every moment, we feel the gift of your life in each of us and remember the truth that we belong to you and you belong to us. We ask that this service would touch us deeply and send us home transformed, feeding us with the influences from above that we call wisdom. We ask for your blessing upon this service, that it would feed those who partake and share the light and love of God wherever it may go. We thank you that together we are united into the love of Christ's heart, and in that heart is a space for grace that overcomes all hard edges and all difficult things, bringing healing to the sick, comfort to the dying, and abundance to those who request. We pray these things in your most holy threefold name, our family name, God transcendent, God omnipresent, and God immanent, the Holy Living Trinity. Amen.
Please join me in our invocation. We remember God, and God is in our hearts. And will you be my echo for our verse this morning? Let silence enter your house.
Let silence enter your house.
That you may hear.
That you may hear.
For within your heart,
for within your heart,
love speaks words of truth to guide you.
Wilson, I'm sorry that you brought all your friends here to hear Tammy Sue tell a story today, but she's not coming. Well, she was a little steamed up last week that she didn't get chosen to tell the prodigal son. And the church lady told her that she could do it this week. But then she told the church lady that she wanted to add a wicked stepmother to the story. And the church lady said that that was not going to be okay, that you can't add to the Bible stories and make it up your own way. And, well, Tammy Sue got really upset, and she started talking about, well, okay, I'll just tell Hansel and Gretel because that story has a stepmother, and she's wicked, and that's what I want to tell about. And so the church lady thought about it, and she thought that was probably okay. But then Tammy Sue started talking about how the crows were bad because they'd eaten all the breadcrumbs. And then, I don't know, she sank. She sank below 200 on the chart, if you know what I mean. And so the church lady asked me to fill in for Tammy Sue because she told Tammy Sue to go and find herself a log in the middle of a creek and listen to the wind. Well, I don't have a story to tell you because she just threw me in here at the last minute. And I was on my way to Granny's house to take this basket of goodies because Granny's having another one of her spells. But the basket, because Granny is an elephant, is rather large. And it's full of good things for Granny, but it's really hard for me. And I started worrying about all the trolls and goblins in the woods. And then I started worrying that maybe there would be a forest fire. And then I started worrying about disappointing everybody. And my worries got so big that I remembered I should go back to all the things that I know to do when I'm afraid. And so I brought my friend Flint. And I've put all my worries inside his zipper pouch. And he's carrying them all to God because I asked him to. And then I remembered my gratitude journal. So I wrote all the things I'm grateful for to help neutralize the worries. And it started helping. And then I went into my inner room and I turned up the power and I blasted all my worries with light because I'm a lucky light worker and I'm lucky that I remembered it. I hope you remember that you're a lucky light worker too. Bye.
Our scripture reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. May this reading nourish our journey deeper into wisdom and love. Amen.
Deborah is celebrating her birthday today. Happy birthday. And so is David Jenkins, who is also one of our youth director assistants, who's sitting in the back, I believe. So we love you both. Yes. Celebrate your lives. So we're exploring the evolving the Lord's Prayer, and last week we began with the introduction. Our Father who art in heaven is the traditional way of saying it, and we explored the notion of birther of the cosmos, or beloved source in the heavens, in, through, and beyond the heavens. And if you haven't heard that, I encourage you to listen to it on the website, because these are all sequential and they dovetail very nicely together. And that's the wish, that we literally create a new or a transformed version of the Lord's Prayer for our community. One of the reasons that's so compelling to me is because we say the Lord's Prayer a lot in our community after our centering prayer periods, the 7 a.m. daily centering prayer periods, the retreats, all the retreats that we do, obviously the centering prayer period during this service. We say it a lot in our community, and it can therefore become quite mechanical and rote. And this is one way of shaking it up a little bit to keep us alive and growing in this beautiful wisdom of the Lord's Prayer. It turns out also that the Lord's Prayer is a bit of a mantra that we can proclaim over our lives, and I hope to draw some of that out today as we explore the first triad of of the Lord's Prayer invocations. Hallowed be thy name, thy will be done, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As I mentioned last week, the first three of the triad are all yours, and then the second set of three is ours: our bread, our trespasses, our debts, etc. So today we're going to look very briefly at each of these petitions. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, and thy will be done. And another way of thinking about these first three are using these lights, these words: light, life, and loving wisdom. Light, life, and loving wisdom. Those would be another way of speaking about just one word to describe each of these three petitions: light, life, and love. Love, wisdom in particular. The love that bears goodness out in our lives. Light, life, and love, wisdom. And hopefully as we go through this, it'll make sense why I say that. So the first thing to recognize about this notion of hallowed, it's an old English word that we don't use anymore except when we say the Lord's Prayer. It's more associated with the word holy or holiness. Hallowed is holy or sacred. And let me just share with you what I believe this word is trying to convey in the Hebrew and in the Aramaic. It's not just a reverence that it's conveying, but deeper than that, there's a notion of wholeness. This is a wish for wholeness. And let me just nuance it even more specifically, that the wholeness is the essence of God, the essence of God that already is. And so what this wish or this prayer is basically saying this: we recognize the essence, capital E essence, of wholeness embedded and inscribed within everything. I recognize the essence of divine wholeness embedded and inscribed and imprinted in everything. And by saying this, we are declaring God's essence is embedded in the wholeness of all and everything. And it lifts us out of just that sense of morality that the word holy conveys, and it helps us understand the wholeness of the totality of God and what God is, that we are acclaiming that the essence of God is in its wholeness. Even though we see brokenness, the wholeness is there. The essence is wholeness. God's essence is wholeness, not fragmentation. So any fragmentation that we feel, see, or experience is actually a mutation, so to speak, an aberration, a diminishment temporarily of the wholeness and our awareness of the wholeness that is occurring. And so saying this is a way of saying, I declare, I ascribe, I remember, I recognize that no matter what I see right now in terms of the fragmentation and division, the lack and the need, I declare your essence is wholeness in everything and in everyone. And that takes faith to declare that, but it's very, very powerful. There's another aspect of this word, hallowing, making whole, that's nuanced in more in the Aramaic than in the Greek or the Hebrew, but it's this idea of cleansing out. And we get it from the notion of setting something apart, making it holy. So we set this sanctuary apart on this particular piece of land. People walked this land. People declared it holy and claimed it for God, claimed it for the work, claimed it for wisdom. And it's been set apart. There are sacred objects embedded in the hay bales that are plastered over on this, on all the walls surrounding us. There's a vibration of intention here that has been set apart for the purpose of God devotion. Right above me, you can see that beam, and it is sending the light straight down to this chair and straight down to the umbilical cord of our church, which is Theosis Chapel right beneath me. And this intentional creation of space is hallowed. It's set apart for the purpose of being light workers, so to speak, receiving the light from above and sharing it with each other. This is notion that we create a space that the light might fill it. And this is the notion of setting apart our heart to be the vessel of containing, receiving, and distributing more the light that we are acclaiming and recognizing. Wholeness is your essence in everything and in everyone. And I'm creating a space in my heart for that place where that light and that truth and that wholeness to dwell. And in many ways, this is what Mary means when she says, "Let it be in me according to thy word." And that's that gorgeous beginning of the season of Advent that we're coming to in 2 weeks. The season of Christmas begins with this simple woman who simply receives and sets apart her body to be hallowed, to be set apart for the reception of the light of the world coming in to demonstrate what our purpose on this planet is. And it is an active intention for each of us to create that inner space for our life, so that there's a lot of things we give our attention to on this planet that we don't even think about. We just do it. We don't even think about the intention of getting, having, seeking, buying, eating, drinking. We don't even think about it. We just do it. We're so mechanical about it. So we have to become more awake to intentionally create this sacred devotional space in our hearts. And one of the chief ways we do that in our community is by consenting to the presence and action of the Holy Spirit for 20 minutes of centering prayer in the morning and 20 minutes of centering prayer some other point in the day. And that is this essence of setting apart, is this interior consent to say, here I am, let your wholeness be imprinted more in my being, that I might be a vessel of wholeness and not a perpetuator of fragmentation. I love what Richard Rohr says, that which is not transformed is transmitted. And so we live in a world where we got a lot of people transmitting their fragmentation and lack of integration in various ways, including myself. And so we become mirrors to each other, our lives become mirrors to each other as we begin to recognize, oh, I see how my fragmentation is leaving its imprint in others. And rather than leaving the imprint or signature of wholeness, I'm leaving the imprint and signature of further fragmentation and sometimes shattering. And this is why we have to name this and claim this and say, I affirm, acclaim, declare, and recognize the essence of your divine presence is wholeness, and I wish for it to be manifest more and more and inscribed and embedded in my life more and more. And this is many ways this idea that we become the heart shrines for this light. And Mary is called in the tradition Theotokos, the God-bearer, or the God-birther. So we could literally say, birther of the cosmos, birth in us through our heart space more of your light. May that birthing continue in us as these heart space temples for the light of God to flow through us. And you might say, okay, Peter, well, light is kind of poetic. That's kind of unaccountable. You can just say, fill with me with light. You know, what do we mean by light? Well, light is everything. And light is such a profound mystery. It is the carrier of information. It is a spectrum of consciousness. It is an energetic field. Light is everything. Next to light is water. Water is secondary to everything. So if we're looking for images for the transcendent God, I think of light. If we're looking for images of the omnipresent logos, I think of water. And, of course, spirit is self-explanatory. Air. Well, this idea is very rich for us. And so I think perhaps stirring the ember of wisdom here, we can start to feel a whole nother dimension of what we mean when we say, hallowed be thy name. I'll share with you how I've translated that phrase. I'm going to roll this out slowly. So, beloved source, your presence courses all and everything. Your name voices wholeness and all being. Your name voices wholeness and all being. That name that is hallowed and that we set apart is representative. The word in Greek is anomos. It's related to the Greek word for law, nomos. So the name is the signature of authority that enacts and conveys law. The name represents and is the source of the law. So we become laws unto ourselves on this planet. And we live under a multitude of laws. But God is named the law. God's name is the law. God's name is the standard. Wholeness is the rule by which all things are measured, which is the essence of law. So the name of God is the, you might say, the activity or the mode of God's operation on this planet under the guise of laws that are held in place to hold us in place for our development. And if you remove these laws, everything would fall apart. If the law of the burning of helium and hydrogen on the sun stopped, 9 minutes later, planet Earth would begin a deep freeze. And so we're held in the great cosmos of laws manifested or emanated from the name, the source of all law. The name is what represents the authority. We give signature, and that conveys rights. We sign something, and it binds us. All of this is deeply embedded in the Western consciousness of name. What does your name mean? And not only that is in terms of authority, but in terms of intimacy. Because to know one's name and to know another's name is to begin to experience the initiation of intimacy. And until we know each other's names and the nameless name within our hearts, we have room to grow in that relationship. Name means so much. And we wish to acclaim it and describe it as wholeness that is embedded and inscribed within everything. You could put it this way. Let your signature of presence and light be marked on every little stone and at every little tree and every little human being walking on this earth. Just signed God. Okay. So that's light. That's hallowed be thy name. Any comments or questions? It's good, isn't it? I think it's good. It's good things coming from the wisdom of the ancient languages. Helps us shake it up a little bit. Well, let's look at kingdom come, thy kingdom come. This also is very extraordinary. The Aramaic word for kingdom At its root, ancient use was a fruitful arm. A fruitful arm, a symbolic way of talking about, may you be fruitful, may your efforts bear fruit, a fruitful arm. So you could imagine in an agricultural culture that to have an abundant harvest and abundant fields and lots of flocks and lots of children was to have an abundant arm, a fruitful arm, an arm that yielded fruitfulness, and as a result was able to bless others, many, many others, and gave one authority and power and stature in the community. If your fields were overflowing with fruit and your nearby neighbors were parched, your fruitful arm demonstrated God's favor in your life. And more than fruitfulness, it's creativity. It's this creative energy that brings harmony and balance. So you can think of the agricultural dimension of harmony and balance to the earth and the fruitfulness of various plants and fields and whatnot. But to bring harmony and balance to creative power in our own personal and psychological lives, that harmony and balance would mark more of our being, that harmony and balance would arise more in our lives as personality gets tamed and this essence that comes from God arises more and more. And its mark is harmony and balance. This fruitful arm that creates a creative energy that leaves the mark of harmony and balance, it shapes, it forms, and it bears forth. The Greek word for kingdom, similar to fruitful arm, is the Greek word basile, and we get the word basilica from that. So fruitful arm was this creative energy to form, shape, and bring harmony and balance, but also this space, this place, the basilica, where that which was good and true could be influenced into the community, where the word of God dwelled and was proclaimed from the basilica. And the basilica was a set-apart place to contain the wisdom of God, the word of God. At least in the Christian tradition, the great basilicas are like extraordinary cathedrals. The Basilica, St. Peter's Basilica, is the headquarters of the Roman Catholic Church, and it's extraordinary, and it is representative of the ultimate reign which comes from God. So the notion of the kingdom of God is representative, not the fullness of the kingdom of God, not the fullness of the reign or the rule or the presence or the law, or the influence, or the energy, or the wholeness, or the essence of God. Not the fullness, that would blow us away. But representative, like a mirror reflecting into scaled down capacity on this planet. May your kingdom manifest here as a representative influence sourced from the great kingdom that is beyond and in and within all things that we can't even comprehend. The notion of kingdom is difficult because we think of kings and queens, we think of physical territories, we think of the might and the power that runs this world. But that's really not what we have in mind here in this word. The essence of this word, you might even say, may the highest and fullest consciousness manifest on this planet. And may it come more and more and more. And may this essential life of your consciousness form and shape my life more and more and more, that I would come into congruency with the signature of your name and your authority and that consciousness that is wishing to rule and reign my multiplicity, my fragmentation, and bring wholeness more and more and freedom more and more from the self. And life more and more from the culture. And this idea of rising in consciousness is another way of talking about let your kingdom come. Let your consciousness rise up in me. Let the highest, fullest manifestation of consciousness occur here. And lastly, the word for come, thy kingdom come. This word come is really powerful in the English and in the Greek. It comes from the notion of the nuptial chamber, where wedding was sealed in the nuptial chamber or in the bedroom. And it is this deep word of mutual desire being fulfilled. Come. Mutual desire being fulfilled. And we know what we're talking about when we talk about this English word. Let mutual desire be fulfilled. Let my desire come in congruent with your desire. Let your kingdom come. Let our mutual desires meet. And may that mutual desire bring peace and harmony and balance more and more to the world. So, hallowed be thy name represents the light. Thy kingdom come is the life that we are being formed and shaped into in congruency with the consciousness that comes from above. The higher, the fuller, the deeper, the wider, the broader, the fullness of what is possible for human beings and our development on this planet. And that to me speaks very deeply of us, of what we learn here in terms of David Hawking's map of the consciousness, the levels of consciousness, and also the invitation to understand Keating's by way of Ken Wilber's understanding of the various levels of consciousness that are operating in each of our lives and on this planet. So if you wanted to go into more detail in terms of what that kingdom might be or what that consciousness might be, you just reach for the next higher level above you or the next deeper level above you. So to put it bluntly, if you're stuck in the magical level of consciousness as a four-year-old, you're not going to function very well in adulthood, day to day. But sometimes, as an adult, it's fun to return to that magical level of consciousness. And we do that at Christmas. We do that when we play board games. There's an enchantment there. But for those at the magical level of consciousness, that you just reach for the next level of consciousness, which is mythic membership. And those at that level reach for the next level of consciousness, which is the rational egoic. And those at the rational egoic begin to reach for something that is different, the more intuitive or subtle level of consciousness, and then the unitive level, and who knows where the ceiling is. And another way of talking about consciousness is the fruit of the Spirit. So if you can't get to love, maybe you can get to joy. If you can't get to joy, maybe you can get to peace. If you can't get to peace, maybe you can get to grace. If you can't get to grace, maybe you can get to contentment or whatever it might be. So you seek the next higher level of consciousness, the next deeper level of consciousness. That is a way of embodying thy kingdom come right now. What's the next level of consciousness up or down for me right now? What is available for me right now? And that is a way of saying, thy kingdom come, may consciousness arise in me and lift me up. And then thirdly, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And just want to pause here and connect this with an interesting story that I came across this week from the poet David White. And this kind of moves us to more of an embodied understanding of what it might mean to wish that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In his youth, the poet David White, many of us enjoy his writings, he was hiking in the Himalayas. And he came to one of those deep chasms that mark the Himalayas and all alpine areas. And the only way across was a rickety old rope bridge with many missing slats. An old rope bridge strung across the chasm with missing slats. Although David was a confident, experienced mountaineer, he suddenly froze at the prospect of traversing the abyss on such a treacherous path. He sat down on the ground and stared at the bridge for several hours. He was unable and unwilling to proceed. And he writes, there are times when the hero has to sit down. There are times when the hero has to sit down. At some bridges in our life, the part that you always get it, the parts of you that always get it done, have to sit down. There are times where the hero has to sit down. At some bridges in our lives, the parts of you that always get it done have to sit down. At that moment, an old Tibetan woman came along, gathering yak dung for fuel. She walked with a limp and said namaste with a big toothless smile. Then she turned and limped across the bridge. Immediately, without thinking, David rose up and followed her. Sometimes, he realized, it is the old interior angel, the unexpected guest, the unheroic, limping, undeveloped, unequipped part of ourselves that gets us to the other side. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven is such a balm for all of us when we can't get it done. We get to sit down and let God's will get it done. It's really something to just consent to being lived. And so that gets at the idea of letting be. Meister Eckhart has a little quote on one of our bricks out there that my will would be, that your will would be my will. That this correspondence between our wills would grow. And it really is this idea of wishing. The word for will is grounded in this idea of wanting the best for you, wanting the best for another. That is your best offer. That is your will. I give you my best offer. I give you my most deepest preferred desire. I give you my utmost wish, that which is my best offer. And what that suggests to me is the phrase, may your highest good come to be on this planet, in this life, as it does in your being and in the place of your being. And this idea of correspondence between heaven and earth, we don't want to get too caught up into that. But again, it points back to the wholeness. And in this community, we understand what the ray of creation is, the vertical dimension of the ray, which is also in every dimension because the universe is expanding. We're not in a vertical universe. We're in a spherical or multispherical universe. And it's expanding in every direction as far as we know, right? And so the fullness of the ray, may it correspond to each other. May that which is birthing it come to that which it's drawing it. The Alpha and the Omega. May these things correspond so that the Do might be completed, that the octave might be sounded and completed. And may we play our part in that completion of the fullness of the God's very best wishes for each of us and each of us on this planet. And in many ways, this is why I say this is about the love of God, the love of God that wants our best interest, that wants the best interest for this planet, that wants the best interest for every aspect that is occurring and does continue to occur extraordinarily without any interference or intervention. It's a gorgeous system just the extraordinary cosmos of biological life on this planet, all interconnected, all supporting each other, all beautifully harmonized. And we, as these smart animals, bring the disharmony so often by our choices and our incongruency to the great wish for the very best to come, because we are consumed with what we think is best for ourselves. And in those situations, what's best is for us to get out of the way, to sit down, and let the unexpected humbleness of God find a way forward. And it's a beautiful thing to simply let go and let God to get out of the way, so that this correspondence can be born in you in ways that never could have been imagined by your mind. And this is the miracle of God's will being done in every moment when we allow it by being open to it. Allowing flows from opening. I'll close with a quotation from a woman, Etty Hillesum, who wrote this in some letters 2 years before she died at Auschwitz in 1942. And this is from her book, An Interrupted Life, and she writes this. And hopefully this just ties all of these three petitions together. She writes, "There is a really deep well inside me, a sacred space, and in it dwells God. Sometimes I am there too, but more often stones and grit block the well, and God is as if buried beneath. Then God must be dug out again." There is a really deep well inside me, a chasm deep, deep for all of us. And in it, and beyond it, and through it, God dwells. Sometimes I am there too. Sometimes I'm aware. Sometimes I'm conscious of that place of presence. But more often, stones and grit block the well. More often, personality, preferences, multiplicity, sleep block the well. And God seems as if buried within. Then God must be dug out again. Work must occur. Awakening must unfold. And so we say an evolved version of the Lord's Prayer. I invite you to just close your eyes. I'm not saying this is it. I'm just saying this is what I've got today. And just take this in, having heard what we've heard today. Beloved Source, your presence courses all and everything. Your name voices all wholeness and being. Your harmony is calling. Your wisdom is drawing. As above, so below. You've heard what I've had to say. It's just allow the Spirit to arise from the chasm of our being and minister to you in the way that is best. Walk with us through the valleys of the shadow of death. Awaken us in our dimness of presence and guide us in our confusions and needs, and release the deepest joy and laughter we've ever felt. So, to be participants of your birthing of the cosmos. In Christ, the Alpha and the Omega, we pray. Amen. And we take into our hands and into our consciousness our tithes, gifts, and offerings. We give to the church that feeds us spiritually week by week. And we remember this glorious truth together all around, wherever we may be, speaking it out. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And how blessed we are to simply remember God. And we dedicate these tithes, gifts, and offerings to the victory of consciously chosen love in each of our lives and on this planet over the lies of separation and our useless acting out from fear. Amen.
Turn my eyes. I cannot count the cost of all that has been broken, all that has been lost.
I cannot understand the suffering that life brings, war and hate and hunger, and a million other things. Silence, it will never.
And now let us rest in the silence of God's love for 10 minutes of centering prayer, which is a contemplative way of consenting to God's love.
For those of you participating at home, I encourage you to prepare your elements, and for us in this sanctuary to uncap your elements so you can participate in just a moment as we partake in the Eucharist together. And you'll eat when I eat the bread. Please join with me in prayer. Abba, birther of the cosmos, we thank you that we know you hear us now and that we know you always hear us. It's you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us faith to pray in, that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. Abba, we ask. Pour out your Spirit on these elements, that we may recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Spirit and transform us into love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you." This is the body of Christ. When supper was ended, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ. Living in eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ. For the glory of God, our beloved source, for the glory of God's reign here on earth, and so that our joy may be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. Let's conclude our worship by standing and looking at the camera and our beloveds in the cloud and singing our Amazing Grace.
Like me.
I thank you, each of you, for your presence here today. It's been a blessing to me personally for your presence in the cloud and in this sanctuary. The love of God, the grace of Christ, and the peace, the presence of the Holy Spirit is with each of us now and always. Amen.